Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Good morning, good morning. It is 5 o'clock on a Tuesday, and we had a primetime matchup last night that was a little one-sided as the 49ers ended up beating the Browns 31-3, and we will primarily talk about that today because we got a lot to get into. The performance from Nick Bosa, the performance from the running backs, the performance from the Browns, if you even want to call that a performance.
Was it a performance? I mean, that just looked atrocious.
Yeah.
It's great for the 49ers. It just goes to show you that Kyle Shanahan clearly outcoached Freddie Kitchens last night.
Yes.
Interesting decisions from the Browns.
The Niners were way more prepared. They took that bye week. Jimmy Garoppolo said he went home, or he didn't go home to Chicago. He stayed in California so that he could prepare for this upcoming game after the bye week. Yeah. Yeah. And now you're 4-0. And you are currently still one of the only undefeated teams in the NFL, along with the Patriots. You're up there in the NFC West. Now, you've beaten four opponents, really, that are all from different divisions. Mm-hmm. So you still have yet to have a divisional game. And that's when they really got to perform. But last night, 31-3, it was just an utterly dominant win, and there's really no other way to put it, Anna.
There's absolutely no other way to put it. Just think about, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure it's coming. You're going to see that side-to-side picture of Tom Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo, right next to each other, the only undefeated quarterbacks right now in the NFL. So you're going to see that comparison, but I mean, just great games. Nick Bosa, 2 sacks, 1 fumble recovery, 5 quarterback hits. I mean, he was bringing the pressure. And he just brought it last night to Baker Mayfield and had a little fun with him at the end there with the planting of the flag.
Yeah, so at the beginning of the first half, he mimicked the planting of the flag. And then at the end of the game, he used the actual flag. And what was great was they put the side-by-side video on Twitter, or they put whatever. It wasn't even side-by-side. It was top by bottom, whatever. It was still matching.
Right.
And they timed it out perfectly so that Bosa's swinging of the flag was completely side-by-side with Mayfield's swinging of the flag and timed perfectly to the point where they just both stuck it in the ground, or at least when he pretended to put it in the ground.
Right. This was about 2 years ago, right? When,
yes.
When Baker Mayfield at the Ohio State got the Oklahoma flag and planted in the middle of the field at Ohio State. So epic troll job there, and then all of a sudden, you can tell that Bosa did not forget and wanted to stick it to him.
That felt like it was the story of the game was Nick Bosa. Not only was just the 49ers just complete dominance over the Browns and them not being able to do anything on offense, and we'll get to Nick Bosa's comments in a little bit, but it was his coming out party. I think it sounded like Booger McFarland. He was on him from the start, but he also sounded kind of surprised by everything that was going on. But the game, well, it started off hot for the Niners.
Working, as you see, with Matt Breida. And look at the speed on Breida. What a way to start it. 83-yard touchdown.
Shout out to ESPN for the audio. But with that, Anna, from the first moment that happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
It started off with the Browns having possession. They punted away. And then in the first play for the Niners on offense, they run it 83 yards. And you know why you're screwed if you're the other team, if they successfully run the ball right at the start. It's because Kyle Shanahan, the drawing up of his play action plays and the team's execution of it, along with the offensive line to the running backs to Jimmy Garoppolo, at that point, it's what makes a play action more effective. If you start off with an 83-yard run like that, you could just tell the Browns were just pursuing the running back the entire night. Yeah. They didn't know what to do. And we were talking about yesterday how one of the keys to this game is if you end up running these guys more than 30 times, which they did,
mm-hmm.
then you're most likely going to be dominating this game. And they ended up running it a total of 37 times. So with all three running backs, with Mostert, with Breida, and then with Tevin Coleman, who ended up leading them in carries. And Jeff Wilson appears to be the odd man out now, I guess. I mean, they didn't really have many opportunities to use him in the red zone. But Matt Breida just starting off with the 83-yard touchdown run, it just set up the entire offense for the rest of the way and had the defense on their toes.
275 yards on the ground. They were just running like crazy. You talked about Tevin Coleman finishing the game, 16 carries, 97 yards, touchdown, his first touchdown as a 49er. And just Matt Breida, I saw that he is now, I believe, the fastest out there. I think it was 22.3 miles per hour last night with the Cheetah. So you see that once you open up that game, what it could do. You didn't see too much in the passing game as much, except for George Kittle, obviously. But when it came to the receiving role, it looked like Dante Pettis was out there with Marquise Goodwin. Marquise Goodwin actually with some great plays last night.
Right.
But it was all about the running game last night and what they did, and they just couldn't be stopped.
There were a couple of times off turnovers where you felt like the Niners should have had points in the first half, and when you talk about Jimmy Garoppolo, though, it feels like with how this game, how the running game is, with how the defense performs, you just need Jimmy Garoppolo to go out there and not make any stupid mistakes, mm-hmm. any turnovers, anything like that, because it seems like this defense can at least pick up the slack and get the offense back on the field. But if Jimmy Garoppolo manages to come out and be more than a serviceable quarterback. He's been pretty good, but he hasn't been like the type of guy who you're going to sit there and say, yeah, we can put the game on his shoulders. He could save us from anything. He's been serviceable. He's been accurate. He's executed the plays well, and he's been running the offense well. But also, I mean, if he improves from that, that score is looking higher than 31-3. I know that's kind of crazy to say. He had that nice touchdown pass to George Kittle at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. He had the nice throw on 3rd and 6, and that was over, I can't remember who it was, but it was a 3rd and 6 play, and he made this nice pass right to the sideline, and there's certain throws that he can make. But also, I mean, it's 31-3. There's nothing to complain about.
No.
But it's just at this point, though, when you're looking at Jimmy Garoppolo, he's played well, but if he plays like just at a level higher than he's been playing, then it just seems like the offense, there's no stopping them at all.
Well, that's the mark of a good team. A mark of a good team is that if one side or one part of the team kind of tends to falter, is not doing as well, the other part can pick it up and pick up the slack and keep this team going. So that's the thing that you can see with this team, that it's looking like things are starting to come together, that it's becoming closer and closer to being a complete team. There's things that need to be fixed, obviously. You know, there are some deficiencies that need to be addressed, but at the same time, overall, it was a good game. A big issue, though, came in special teams. And I know this personally because I had Robbie Gould.
Yeah.
And I was watching him last night on my fantasy team. But, you know, yeah, 3 missed field goals. Looks like also the long snapper issue is going to be an issue that they're going to have to address moving forward. But that's something that needs to be addressed. But that is the good thing was because of such a big difference in score there, because the Niners were so dominant that wasn't an issue. If it were a closer game, that would have been a major issue, obviously.
Starting off, Richard Sherman, he's one of these guys who pregame, apparently Baker Mayfield shrugged him off with a handshake, and Richard Sherman wasn't too thrilled about that. And then he starts off the game like this.
Pressure from Boza, and it is intercepted by Richard Sherman. Boza had the pressure, Sherman with the pick.
Shout out ESPN for the audio. They'll be handling the audio throughout with the play-by-play here. But Richard Sherman coming out, he's already got a few picks here in the start of the season.
Not one last year either.
And he's got more takeaways that this year than the team had the entirety of last year already in the first four games. And this defense, you heard that with Richard Sherman with the mic'd up segment when they had him Monday night mic'd up, which really I thought at the beginning it showed his interception, but he didn't say anything. All you heard was pads going and grunts, which is weird. I find that kind of awkward. I'm like, do they not say any words? Whatever. Obviously, later on in the game, the Monday night mic'd up got a little more entertaining. But you heard Richard Sherman yelling at Nick Bosa, hey, we'll cover you rush. We'll cover you rush. Mm-hmm. And that's what was most I wasn't surprised by Nick Bosa's performance. I really wasn't, because he's been doing this for pretty much the first three games. He averaged, 3.4 yards of separation from the quarterback anytime he rushed the passer. He averaged that this game. He's been averaging 3.3, 3.4, all under 4 yards. Most guys, they average over 4.5 yards. So that means every single time he's rushing the passer, on average, he's getting about 3.5 yards closer to the quarterback. And with Nick Bosa, though, he finally performed. And but what was most shocking to me, though, was just the coverage from the secondary, a depleted secondary, one where Richard Sherman is your guy. Emmanuel Mosley obviously got the start. They all looked great, and that's the reason why Baker Mayfield looked so shook out there. He had a clean pocket. He just didn't. He had a clean pocket sometimes. He just did not complete his passes because, I mean, these guys that were covering, they just let Nick Bosa do what he needed to do.
I mean, shout out to Emmanuel Mosley breaking up the interception in the end zone there. Or not the interception, but breaking up the pass in the end zone. I mean, that was a huge moment in the game. That could have turned things around, but Niners just were able to keep the Browns down. Here's my favorite thing that I read to you this right before the show started, before we actually got on the air here. But San Francisco infamously forced just 7 turnovers last season, intercepting 2 passes, finishing 2018 with an NFL-low 39 passes defended. Now, after 4 games this season, the Niners are tied for 2nd with 7 interceptions and 4th with 28 pass breakups. To see the differences between last season and this season and see how they are head above right now compared to what they were in the past, they are going the right direction. You have to give it up to also Robert Saleh and what he's in. He was fired up out there.
Yeah, he has finally, I mean, he was on the, there were people saying, is Robert Saleh going to be fired?
Yeah.
Is he going to be moving on? Like, are they going to be moving on from these guys? There were so many little storylines that popped up before the season even started. And now that they're winning games and they're 4-0, all those questions are out the window. And that one to Kwan Williams, actually, let's play the highlight right now.
Landry and Beckham Jr. to the left. He looks to the right, and it is intercepted off the deflection. It is Williams, and he's on the go. Kwan Williams cutting back to midfield. And the red zone struggles continue for Mayfield.
This is what confused me the most about the Browns last night. Why are you throwing to a guy who's just come off a suspension in the red zone with a guy who really doesn't have sure hands as of yet, who's speedy? Antonio Callaway is a speedy guy, but also he's not known for his hands. Browns fans know him to drop the ball, and the fact that he did that later in the game, it just showed that this Browns team, they really did not know what they were. I was surprised at how little they used Odell Beckham, or at least tried to. They had one pass, they tried one pass for him, or tried to throw him one pass in the beginning of the game, and it just didn't work out. And then obviously later on, he had a couple here and there, but just them not utilizing one of the best wide receivers that we've seen in the past half decade or so, I just did not get that at all.
They looked ill prepared. That really what it came down to at the end. It looked like the Browns were not prepared for this game at all, and the 49ers, also having that bye week, they look more than prepared and ready to go. Big thing also with Patrick Willis also spoke out yesterday, tweeting out, okay, fellas, 49ers, I see you after it. That defense, though, is fire. D defense, special teams, offense, keep on humble but hungry. Yes, goes to show you have somebody like him. You knew what Patrick Willis did for this 49er team and what he meant to the Niner faithful, and you got a nice little stamp of approval right there.
Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 from the 707 Classic. Nothing to complain about as you're complaining. I did do that. From the 510, Jimmy G is doing what he needs to do. He doesn't have to do more with the run game being so effective, but he will step it up when he has to. Mm-hmm. And look out to all the doubters. Take a look at Brady. He is doing the same. Richard Sherman spoke to the media yesterday and had some great comments on said doubters, and we'll play those for you next. Stephen Langford and Eric Hagedakis in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. We're just talking about the undefeated 49ers at 4-0 for the first time since 1990, and I wasn't even born yet.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I was 7 years old.
Really?
Yeah, I was seven.
Wow.
Told you, like I said yesterday, I was little.
We're going to do that. We're going to do that classic thing where we'll probably, you know, just we'll look up everything from 1990 because I'm sure the answer. Someone already did that on Twitter.
Oh, good.
Someone
tell
already
us what
put
happened.
Out all the 1990, you know, best picture, best song, whatever, top 100 songs, everything like that. So we'll look up all that a little later on in the show. I can't remember what it would be in 1990.
Okay, Ice Ice Baby. There you go. Ice Ice Baby and MC Hammers. You can't touch this.
Wow.
Okay, so it looks like you have your song choices now for Jolo and Dibs. It's not a Wu-Tang Wednesday, so you have a little.
There
more,
you go.
You know, a little more free.
Yeah.
Free time.
Oh, yeah.
Blades of Glory, John Bon Jovi. Wow, there's some interesting ones here.
Wow. Oh, Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 888-957-9570 if you want to get in on the conversation.
Thunderstruck AC/DC.
Oh, nice.
Good one.
All right, there we go. Okay.
Continue now.
Back to sports as we go on, but 31-3 was your final as the 49ers beat the Browns in prime time. And I'm not even going to say beat. I'm going to say they embarrassed the Browns. Baker Mayfield, I've been backing him up for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because with the quarterbacks nowadays and how they have been since really the 70s, is they're kind of robotic. They don't like showing much personality, and that's what you have to have in your quarterback to lead a franchise to prominence. And that's all well and good, but I thought with Baker Mayfield, maybe this season, maybe with just the amount of trash that he talked last season, he was able to back it up. He won a few games here and there, and I was thinking in this next season that he'd make that next step up, and then we'd prove that these quarterbacks don't have to be robots in order to lead their teams. But right now, he's not proving me anything. He's not proving anyone anything, and you hear what he did to Richard Sherman in the pregame, not shaking his hand.
Yep.
Sherman says that's NFL etiquette. That's not, this isn't college football anymore.
Yep.
That's college football BS, and right now, I've been trying to back him up the entire time because I like the personality. I liked how kind of just brash he was. I liked how just much he did not care. And now it's like you're not doing anything on the field. And what you showed last night when you have a 13 passer rating, you're not paving the way for anybody to change how a quarterback is. I guess that's just how it's going to be from now on. That's why I was rooting for him at the beginning of the season, because I was just like, you know what? This could start a new wave of quarterback right now. But you know what? No. Quarterbacks can still probably have to be robots in order to lead a team.
Odell Beckham Jr. had a higher passer rating than Baker Mayfield last night. Just the idea of he had such a rough game. He was 8 of 22 for passing, 100 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions, just a bad overall night. And Sherman also said afterwards, it's like, you know, he's acting like he was MVP of the league last year. And he said if Patrick Mahomes did it, that's one thing.
Right.
If he was acting like that, but he's not even acting like that. And look, I understand what you're saying. I like it when somebody has a little more, you know, is a little more animated, a little more fun, showing more personality. You like to see that in your quarterback, but you've got to back up the play first. You can't just go out there, you know, and say that you're this, you know, act like you're the best quarterback that's ever lived and then have a game like that.
Right.
If you have one game, that's fine, but you've had one really good game pretty much so far this season.
Yeah. Think about when you're watching like a movie, mm-hmm. and there's an enemy in the movie or an antagonist in the movie. The reason that you like that antagonist so much, the villain. The reason you like the villain so much is because they do talk, but they also back it up, and it feels like the person that you're rooting for in the movie, the actual hero, is sort of an underdog, and they're trying to beat that villain who's at the top. Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield is just a villain who's at the bottom, and no one cares about it because you're just haven't done anything yet.
Well, villains are more likable now, too. That's where you've seen that whole evolution when it comes to movies, that you have villains that are more likable because they're more human. They're not necessarily just all evil. So now you're seeing people who are more human and seeing personality, and that's where there are a lot of them are a lot more likable. So you have almost that villain who could be likable, could be somebody that you kind of, you don't like him, but you want to get behind him. Even not a villain, but say example, like when Richard Sherman was playing for the Seahawks, he was somebody that you hated him, but he could back it up.
Right.
And he was so good that you could only respect his play on the field. As much as you hated him, you wished he was on your team. And guess what? Now he is. And you see what someone like him is doing as a leader for this defense.
You completely read my mind, because that's where I was going to go. Here is one villain that we do know from the Seahawks days when he was the best corner in the league was Richard Sherman. And, you know, he goes in yelling at the camera with Aaron Andrews, scaring the living crap out of Aaron Andrews.
Yep.
Going and yelling at Crabtree, at the camera, as if the camera is Michael Crabtree. But he spoke yesterday, and this is why there's a bunch of reasons you should be thankful that Richard Sherman's on your team. And I equate this a lot to Draymond Green, even though, I mean, a completely different sport. But they're both guys that you love to have on your team, that you hate to be on the opposition. But also a reason you love to have them on your team is anytime they speak in press conferences, they're very eloquent and they're good with their words. And Richard Sherman, he spoke yesterday. And even though these weren't the biggest words that he used, it made a lot of sense. Here's Richard Sherman talking after the game.
You don't worry about it. You want idiots to sound like idiots, but you want them to hold their position the whole year. Like, don't flip-flop with us. Like if you said gonna make it, you said we were some way early on, just stick with that position, hold it. Don't try to give us credit now. Just stick. If you had us ranked 25, keep us ranked 25. If you had us going home early, if you had us going 3-3 and whatever, have us going 3-8 whatever, you know what I mean? At least stick by your word, because I want you to sound like an idiot at the end.
So there you go. If you're gonna be an idiot, like if you were one of those idiots who counted us out in the beginning, then just continue to sound like an idiot and continue to doubt us, which actually that leads me going to tweet to Skip Bayless that I have to open here.
Ooh, let's do it.
Yes.
Well, while you get that, let me just tell you, I'm definitely not one of those idiots, because I was on the Joe and Low train with the 4-0, thank you very much, starting of the season.
What do you guys win for that?
We'll find out today during Joe Low and Dibs. I'm really excited.
Wow, because my friend actually texted me about that yesterday. He's like, what do they win with that four whatever game parlay? I don't even know how betting works. I don't know any of the definitions. But
it was a rollover game. It was
okay.
A rollover bet.
Right.
Over from each. You put that money into the next game, and then Joe would find out the best point to bet.
You guys, yes, you are for sure. Yes, you're victorious.
Yes, 100%.
All right. This is from Skip Bayless, though. And this is one of the idiots, I guess, that Richard Sherman's talking about, because Skip Bayless, at Real Skip Bayless, this is a legit tweet. Yeah, Nick Bosa, plant that fake flag. Baker planted a real one in your backyard, and Hart won on Saturday at Saturday night at the Horseshoe. He nearly got Cleveland back in the game until Callaway muffed a TD pass into a long INT return.
What?
Yeah, so there you go. He's backing up Baker Mayfield. And for me, from the 408 here, we got a couple of texts, both from the 408 and the Chilton Autobody text line. What's the difference between Baker Mayfield and Johnny Manziel from the 408? Also, Baker on the fast track to becoming Johnny Manziel.
Off-field issues, I would say.
Off-field issues play a big part in it.
Big part.
Okay? Baker Mayfield's not some guy who just took advantage of his stardom to just go out partying all the time.
Yeah, Baker, look. No matter what you have to say about Baker Mayfield, there is a big difference when it comes to that type of stuff, because there's substance stuff and everything that's involved, and there's a big issue. Look, he's a loudmouth, but that's it. That's all we could say that about Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield, he at least proved last season that he can play a couple of seasons in this league. Johnny Manziel proved that he couldn't even play a couple of games. So there's a big difference between those guys, although Baker Mayfield does not look to be like on the fast track to being a franchise quarterback anymore, because that game last night, it was putrid. He could come back. He could come back and he could improve. But from what we've seen this entire season, It's like he's inaccurate. He seems nervous. It seems like the pressure's getting to him. I mean, how embarrassing is it that you're throwing for, you know, you're throwing a couple of picks, and then all of a sudden a TV commercial for you pops up for an insurance commercial talking about how Cleveland is your home and you got to clean up your home, which I actually think is pretty funny.
Yeah, that is a pretty good commercial, actually.
Yeah, but overall, though, it just seems like the talk that he's doing right now, I've been backing it up the entire time because I like it when there's a little bit of just a villain in sports. I enjoy that, but right now it's just a villain that isn't good. It doesn't do anything.
I really think it. Look, I think that Baker Mayfield could be fine, but I just really think that down the road it may also have to be with the coaching staff. I just think there were some really bad decisions last night made by the coaching staff, and it is a Monday Night Football game. It's a primetime game. 49ers now number 49. They have the most wins on Monday Night Football with 49 wins, and it just goes to show you that maybe sometimes he just wasn't ready for that. That's a really big moment right there. On that Monday night game against a defense like the 49ers, we've seen this defense completely improve, and this team was ready for it. The Niners were ready for it. They had the bye. They were prepared, and the Browns were not.
All right. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 from the 707. Baker Mayfield working on a Manziel beer belly. Did you see that gut pregame? No, I did not see the gut pregame, believe it or not. From the 415, Justin School. We've been getting a lot of that. All right. Coming up on the other side, there are a couple of injury updates that we need to discuss. But for the most part, just celebrating the fact that the 49ers are 4-0 right now after dismantling, embarrassing, humiliating the Browns on Monday night primetime and really just putting themselves into that spotlight now in the NFL. Stephen Langford, Anna Kakanaki's in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. We are just talking about the dismantling of the Cleveland Browns and really 31-3. What really, you could just tell, it was the beginning of the game. It was just the start of the game with that 83-yard touchdown run, the interception on the next play after that, and then, you know, the blitz coming toward the end of the first quarter that Robert Saleh drew up when they were down inside their own 10-yard line. It's just what the Niners were doing yesterday, they just had their number from the first quarter on. And you know what? At the beginning of the second quarter, the Browns were on defense, they were rolling. Right. It seemed like they had their confidence. But then that interception to Kawan Williams in the end zone, at that point, that's just when everything for the Browns, it just went south, and it didn't seem like Baker Mayfield was into it. It didn't seem like Odell Beckham was into it. Myles Garrett was still trying as hard as he could, but the 49ers offensive line managed to hold him off just for one sack, which is pretty good just for getting Myles Garrett. Obviously, you'd rather he get no sacks at all, but to hold off Myles Garrett like that, they did a good job, especially with an offensive line that's without Joe Staley right now. And it wasn't even Justin School.
Yeah, it was actually Mike McGlinchey was on the right side, which I was actually just thinking the same thing. They set the tone early. The Niners set the tone early right away with the 83-yard touchdown from Matt Breida. I thought it was going to be a lot closer in the beginning because you saw in the beginning Baker Mayfield connecting with Odell Beckham Jr. It's like, all right, they're going to use him more. They're connecting more, so that we got to watch out for that. It's going to be a higher scoring game. But you're right. The Niners were able to shut it down, and then it just felt like the Browns were spiraling out of control after that. They just could not get back in the game. They tried. They would come close. And then Niners like, nope, not in our house. It ain't happening tonight.
Everything that we've said before the season about this team, or that a lot of people said, I actually thought the Browns were going to be a lot better than this. But every time, you know how when, say, I'm going to compare this to how I felt with like Kevin Durant with Golden State. Anything that happened with Kevin Durant, I was kind of always backing up Kevin Durant just because of how good he was.
Right.
And just like any time we talked about him leaving or him not getting along with the team, I'm like, that's just noise. That's just all speculation. And for me, in the offseason, when we hadn't even seen the Browns play, I actually thought they were going to be a lot better than this. And all the noise that was surrounding them was, how are they going to overcome adversity? When they're down in the big moments, are they going to be able to bring their attitudes up? Are Freddie Kitchens and Baker Mayfield, are they going to be able to lead them back into, if they're down at the half and say they need to score a couple of touchdowns to get back into it, are they going to be able to have that attitude? And right now, it seems like all that speculation, all that talk we had about them, they're proving everything that a lot of people they felt like they, like, really before the season, we didn't know that. It's just very easy to say they're not going to, you know, they're not going to live up to the expectations that they had because they were so astronomical, and that they have all these all these personalities colliding on one team. Who's going to be the leader? Who's not going to be the leader? We really didn't know, but now they're on the other side of that. They have officially proven a lot of people right after this loss in week 4.
Well, the reason why you had this speculation of how good they could be is because of the talent that they've amassed. They have such, when you look at the people that they have on this team, you talk about, you know, Myles Garrett, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb, just to name a few, and you have tons of first round picks that you have a team that could be a really good team, but just it just isn't coming together for them right now. And that's where the Niners, it just goes to show you, is this Niner team actually better than everybody thought they are? You see what they've done with teams in the past, like, say, you know, looking at the Buccaneers week 1 and what the Buccaneers have done down the road. It just goes to show you this Niner team is maybe better than people thought.
Yeah, and with Jimmy Garoppolo, he's not playing. He just needs to be a quarterback that's not going to make stupid mistakes and stupid decisions. And last night, it felt like with the running game, with everything that surrounded it, that's the point at where he's at now. And Nick Bosa with probably one of the biggest games, like, that he's had, and it's in his career. I don't know if we're talking about, like, in his football life, because he's probably had bigger ones at Ohio State, but this one was his coming out party.
100%.
This was the one that has made everyone learn who Nick Bosa is.
If you didn't know who he was before, you know now. And if you wondered whether or not this was the right pick for the 49ers, for all the Niner faithful out there who are like, should we have gotten Quinnen Williams? Should we have gotten somebody else instead? Well, you know what? You made the right pick, it looks like, so far. So he came out here. I mean, just look at the difference here when you look at the offense. 49ers offense had 436 total net yards yesterday. The Browns had 180. I mean, just the differential right there just goes to show you it was such a lopsided game.
Two sacks, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, bunch of quarterback hits. He's averaging about 3.4 yards close to the quarterback when he is rushing the passer. And then he ended up planting the flag, Nick Bosa did, the fake flag at the half. And they spoke to Nick Bosa after the game. And Nick Bosa, he's not really one to speak much. You know, he's not the loud, boisterous type. He's just going to go out there and let the play speak for himself. And he spoke after the game, and he talked about trash-talking Baker Mayfield.
I was kind of trying to talk. I don't usually talk, but this game, he had it coming. So, but he didn't say one word back. So,
what did you say? Just for
example? I was just screaming his name, like, Baker, Baker, you good? Come on, pick it up. We want a challenge.
I'm sorry. I can just imagine, like, if he actually said in that voice, like, Baker, that's almost very horror movie like in a way. It kind of seems like something, like, if you have that voice, maybe that's a little scarier than actually, like, somebody yelling at you in your face. Just think about it. The creepy note, Baker, like,
kind of like
your dreams,
kind of like
Kruger.
in the Poltergeist, you know, with the they're here thing, with the
they're
little,
here.
Yeah, just the little voices, the quiet voices. I don't know. Nick Bosa, he's not one to go out there and trash talk. This might be the only time. It's obvious. It's crazy. We didn't even look at that angle. I hadn't heard that angle from a single person before this game started. Is looking back 2 years ago when Oklahoma played Ohio State and Baker Mayfield planted that flag. Nick Bosa went out there and he had a vendetta. He had a goal to go and make Baker Mayfield's life miserable the next time that he saw him. And look what he did. Nick Bosa has officially won the battle between Baker Mayfield and Nick Bosa. He has won the battle so far.
It was festering. You could tell. It was just waiting to erupt. And it did yesterday, Mount Vesuvius style against Baker Mayfield. So that just, he's had such a great game last night that you just can't help and say how good this whole defense played. Just everybody. DeForest Buckner was a beast out there. You had Quan Alexander. You already mentioned Kawan Williams. Just this whole team has come together. You have, like we said earlier in the show, you have somebody like Robert Saleh who was talking about people saying, you know, how much pressure he has coming into this season. Is he on the hot seat right now? And now he's somebody that people are talking about as a top coaching candidate to take over a team next year. just to see the complete, you know, 180 on this defense and what they've done this year just goes to show you why this team is 4-0.
I mean, looking at the stats now, not only with the passing defense, but with the running defense too, holding Nick Chubb to 16 carries for 87 yards with no touchdowns. And a lot of those yards came toward the end of the game when really the Browns were just completely out of it. But one thing that's more shocking to me is you're not getting any of these wide receivers more than six targets. Jarvis Landry led the way with four receptions for 75 yards, but you're at least supposed to get your number one or number two receiver a little more than six targets on the night, and Baker Mayfield couldn't do anything. The Niners were just up in his grill the entire time. And from the 415, why was the Browns backup QB inserted? I understand you're down, but still, that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Why would you bring Garrett Gilbert in? Like, that's just embarrassing if you're the Browns. If you're Freddie Kitchens, like, what does that say?
It just, look, sometimes maybe, I'm playing devil's advocate here, maybe it could be, you know, you already know you're done. You're losing this game. Don't lose your quarterback as well for the rest of the season. At this point, yeah, it's embarrassing, but just say, hey, throwing in the towel, let's take you out of here because you see what this defense is doing. I don't want you getting hurt. So let's recharge for next week.
Shouldn't have been the 49ers that were thinking that way, though. Shouldn't they have just sat Jimmy Garoppolo instead when they were up and they realized the Browns were just completely out of it? Because, I mean, like, you're not meant to bring your starting quarterback out when you're down regardless. You're not supposed to just quit even though you're down 31-3. I understand it's a lengthy it's a big point differential. You got to score a lot, but obviously you're not going to come back in the fourth quarter. But just to take out your starting quarterback because you're scared of him getting hurt, I mean, just let him step back in the pocket and throw quick passes.
Yeah.
Just run the ball. Do something. Don't take out your starting quarterback on Monday night in prime time. And you know what's sad about this entire thing?
What?
Is that the Browns, they could probably still win the AFC North because the AFC North is not looking too hot right now. It's looking like an 8-8 season could get it done. And really, these next two games, they're playing the Seahawks next week, and I forget who they're playing after that. But after these next 2 weeks, the Browns are just cruising for the rest of the way, and they got a chance still to win the AFC North. But right now in week five, the 49ers embarrass them in prime time.
100%. I mean, just this is where we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about it today, but I think obviously with everything just rehashing the Niner game today, this is definitely tomorrow the most confusing teams.
Yes.
In the NFL, we definitely have to get to that tomorrow because there are a lot of teams. When you came into the season, you had different expectations for them, and they're either not meeting expectations or there are teams that are exceeding it now. So it is. Oh, and just some, you have no idea where they are. They're just in this like mush pot in the middle where you just have no idea. So it's good to see. Look, what the Niners have done this year, they are one of those teams that have exceeded expectations. You had people who thought, oh, this team's going to be great. Or you had most people like, eh, you know, based on last year and seeing what happened with this team, I don't think they're going to be that great of a team. Let's see if they even get close to sniffing the playoffs. And now you have a team that's 4-0 for the first time since 1990. They're doing things the right way. They're building this team the right way. And I think also keeping Jimmy Garoppolo in that game, you're also trying to figure out other things, like trying to figure out other ways to make the offense work and also maybe bring in some other talent. Like somebody like Deebo Samuels, you didn't see him much last night.
You didn't see him much.
I think he got like 3 yards, like one reception, 3 yards, something like that. And you have to also figure out the receiving core and how this one's going to work. And, you know, there's also those question marks. Do you bring in a veteran wide receiver to maybe get this team to be more complete? Or do you go with these guys? Because it looks like, you know, Dante Pettis was still in there. Does Kyle Shanahan, looks like he really still believes in Dante Pettis. Is he somebody, I think he had like 2 drops yesterday.
Yeah.
One of which
I think could have been a touchdown.
Yeah.
One of which actually, it was in stride. It was a good throw.
He looked ahead.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Dante Pettis knew he should have caught that ball and he could have probably gone in for a touchdown. But yeah, with the wide receiver, like, look, with these past few games, it just doesn't seem like they even need that number one receiver because their running game has been so damn good with the three-headed monster that is Matt Breida, Raheem Mostert, and Tevin Coleman. I mean, the game started out like this.
And he's got this running game working, as you see, with Matt Breida. And look at the speed on Breida. What a way to start it.
Shout out ESPN for the audio. One guy whose name it probably won't get mentioned all that much, but it's John Benton. And that's the offensive line coach for the 49ers. And what he's done with this interior line with Mike Person, with Laken Tomlinson, mm-hmm. and with Weston Richburg. Now, you got Mike McGlinchey on the outside, and then you got Justin School filling in for Joe Staley. Mm-hmm. But right now, they at least seem to be – it doesn't matter. You don't have to have the most talented offensive lineman out there, but you got to have that offensive line work as a unit. And this guy, John Benton, did exactly that. And one guy who we're actually going to miss going forward is Kyle Juszczyk, who sprained his knee. Kyle Shanahan said after the game that it was a knee sprain. He's going to be getting an MRI. So we'll see what happens as far as his timetable for his return. But right now we're not I actually feared it might have been like an ACL or something like that. Something like that that could have been season ending. But a knee sprain, it sounds like for right now, they're just going to – we don't know much. We just know that they're going to get the MRI later today. But with the offensive line, they work in cohesion with Kyle Juszczyk and George Kittle to get that running game going. It's going to be a big blow, but also just giving a shout out to all the blocking that's been done for the running backs here going forward, because, I mean, they've just done a phenomenal job for the first 4 weeks.
I mean, he has been a huge part of this offense, so he will definitely be missed. It was Juszczyk who actually said that he doesn't believe it's an ACL tear. It was reported last night that he was also walking on the leg. He was wearing a brace, I think it was Kyle Shanahan was saying afterwards that they probably could have kept him in the game, but they decided not to because of the score. So that's some good news that it wasn't something that they thought, okay, we have to take him out right now. This is bad. Obviously, more cautious than anything else, but hopefully it's not as bad as what they initially thought.
And going forward with this running game, so we'll see what happens with Kyle Juszczyk. We just got to wait for the MRI, mm-hmm. and we'll know a little more. Anna and I aren't exactly doctors. We're not physical therapists.
Oh, you didn't know I had a PhD?
What? No. You're working at sports radio and you got the PhD?
I'm Dr. Anna Kagaragis, of course not.
But one guy that we haven't really talked about all that much today is one Tevin Coleman.
Tevin Coleman now at running back as he will try to get it to the outside. Catches a seam.
That was his touchdown to make the score 21-3, 16 carries for 97 yards. Do you think that, I mean, when you look at Matt Breida's stats here, 11 carries for 114, mm-hmm. you take out that 83-yard touchdown run. I mean, he only had 10 carries for, 31 yards? So, really, I mean, you're looking at Tevin Coleman. This dude comes out, and he balled out as soon as he came back from his injury. I didn't know he was going to be getting 16 carries leading the team yesterday, but Tevin Coleman balled out yesterday.
I thought slowly maybe working him back in, he's going to be productive, but not that. I mean, that just goes to show you why Kyle Shanahan really wanted him. He obviously worked with him in Atlanta. He really liked him, the fact that he knew that he was going to fit this system really well, and goes to show you first game back, excited to see what he's done. And we've already seen this running back core and what they've done, and that, you know, after the first 3 weeks, they were the top receiving core rushing core when it came to the rest of the NFL. When you average what all three of them did between Breida, Mostert, and Wilson, and then now you bring Tevin Coleman into the mix, somebody that Kyle Shanahan really wanted and brought him on this team. It goes to show you that this is going to be somebody that they're very excited to see what he can bring to this team. So I'm excited to see more from him, and this is just off the injury.
I mean, with that, with those 16 carries, this is just going to help Jimmy Garoppolo even more. That's really how I'm seeing this. Because Jimmy Garoppolo, he hasn't shown yet that he's going to be that quarterback that could put the team on his shoulders and can put the game on his back, and he could save the team from coming, back when they're down. I don't really see that from Jimmy Garoppolo just yet. He's been accurate. He's been good enough in not making mistakes. But right now, he's proven that he can be a serviceable quarterback if they got that good running game going. And with Tevin Coleman in there, it's just only going to help him out going forward. And, I mean, really, you think that when you had Jimmy Garoppolo and you signed him to be your franchise quarterback, you signed him thinking, all right, we're going to need to rely on him every single game. But right now, it just looks like the running game is going to be dominating. For the most part, they dominated the first 4 weeks. How they're going to do when they go up against teams like the Rams or teams like the Seahawks, when they go into Seattle, they still got some tough tests going forward. These first 4 weeks, going up against the Buccaneers, the Bengals, the Steelers, and then the Browns. No, they are not the best teams in the NFL, but they are teams that they have been dominating. Obviously, they didn't dominate the Steelers too much, but the other teams, they were dominant against them, and that's what you want to see with a good team as opposed to these teams that are on the cusp of being pretty damn bad.
Yeah, and right now you're like you said before, you're not going up against a division rival right now, but you're facing the task ahead of you, and you got the wins, and you've done it in a lot of them, pretty substantial leads and scoring high points. The defense has really kept the game going, kept the Niners in these games. But looking forward, you're going next week against the Rams at home. Now, you have Niners right now with Jimmy Garoppolo. He'd been undefeated at home, stayed undefeated at home right now. But now you're going on the road against the Rams. That's going to be a great game because you're going to see the team that went to the Super Bowl last year going up against this Niner team, division rival, on the road. So, look, I know that we said yesterday was the biggest test for the 49ers. This was a big test, and no matter what happens next week, the fact that they got this win, you feel better either way knowing it next week that, okay, you're on the road. If you're to lose next week, it's okay. You're still 4-1. You can still move forward. You get to 5-0, then all of a sudden it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah, the margin for error has just increased, expanded.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, you can go into that. You could have gone into that game 3-1, and then you could have gone into LA, then lost and been 3-2 going forward, and been just like any of these other teams in the NFL right now that are 3-2. You could have just been another middle of the road team where really, it's just you don't know what this team is, and we'll go over tomorrow our most confusing teams of the NFL season because there are a lot of teams right now that are confusing, especially in the NFC. In the AFC, I think we all know it's going to probably come down to the Patriots and the Chiefs, but in the NFC, we really don't know anything as of right now because it looks like, I mean, the Packers, the Eagles, the Niners, you thought the Cowboys were going to be up there. We don't know what the Vikings are yet. We say they suck, then all of a sudden Kirk Cousins just balls out one game, and Dalvin Cook, he's a great running back. You don't know what to make of that, but right now it just seems like it's pretty even keeled among the NFC, and oh yeah, forgetting, by the way, about the Rams and the Seahawks. The NFC West, it's just, this is officially, it's official now. The NFC West is the toughest division in football.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any other division out there that comes close to what these teams are bringing with the Rams, with the Seahawks, and now with the 49ers and their pass rush. It's tough times for the NFC West in general, because with the 49ers, you don't know what's going to come with these next two division games against those guys, and with the Cardinals, you never know too, because those games with the Cardinals, I mean, the 49ers conceded the two wins, the only Cardinals two wins last season, so never know.
Look what happened right now with the Chargers and the Broncos. That was a divisional match right there, and the Broncos were 0-4 going up against the Chargers, and the Chargers just couldn't handle them. And that's a team that, you know, you're already talking about, you know, with the Broncos trading away everybody because, you know, they just throw away the season at this point. But when it comes to divisional matchup, things change. But I just think it's crazy to see that the two teams right now in the NFL that are undefeated are the 49ers and the Patriots. And just to say, hey, you're undefeated like the Patriots, that's some pretty heavy stuff right there. By the way, a quick little congratulations to DJ Jones, defensive tackle, popped the question to his girlfriend on the field before the game. So congratulations to them.
That'd be really cool for a player to do, but if a fan were to do that, then we'd be like, nah, that's way too corny.
That's because it's not their look. As much as it's their field to go watch the game, it's different when you're actually playing.
Oh,
on
no
that
doubt,
field.
No yeah. doubt. It makes all the sense in the world for a player to do it, but if a fan were to do that, we'd be chastising them like crazy. Remember, I mean, the Bills fans got married on the field in Buffalo.
Oh, I kind of dig that though. We'll talk about that.
Really?
I think that's I wouldn't personally do it, but good for them.
All right.
They got together there. Fandom or dumb fan? We got to get into that one day again.
Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Shout out to the 408 who's happy that 6 o'clock is rolling around. John Dickinson at 6:30. Randy Cross at 7 o'clock. Terrell Owens at 8:30. And Chris Rose at 9:30. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow at 5 a.m.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.